So it was just a couple weeks ago when an astronomy instructor by the name of Eric Kunkel was discussing the precession of the Earth's axes, noting how the Earth wobbles the way a top does and goes around the sun. He also, in the midst of talking about that, trying to teach about that, he unleashed a firestorm of debate. Because on January 10th, the Star Tribune up in Minneapolis ran an article about this, about him, detailing how, because the Earth had changed its relative position, well, the zodiac signs didn't line up exactly the way they had 2,000 years ago. And then, I guess, there's been a suggested 13th sign to add in to the whole zodiac. What's this, Ophiuchus? You're going to wrap that all in there now. And so the upshot of all this is that the signs that people have sort of watched as and grown up with and learned what it's all about, come to rely on, are now potentially different. Everyone's sign has apparently shifted about a month earlier. And so if I followed the new scheme, I've now become a Pisces and I'm no longer an Aries. Right? And so I have to now reckon with the fact that I'm no longer the aggressive, willful, powerful, assertive, expressive, adventurous, pioneering warrior type with the strong, athletic, well-proportioned body. Now, I'm supposed to be kind, caring, generous, indecisive, sensitive, and open, maybe even psychic. Well, at least according to one of the renderings of the zodiac sign meanings that I found, because there were a couple, they just didn't all agree, so I went with the ones that I felt was most appropriate. Yeah. Well, just looking around the internet, I could find that the comments on the internet around some of these questions, I'm not alone in my distress. People who based their entire identity on the zodiac signs have a major conflict. So one website, Yahoo Answers, one person made a comment in response to a question about adding a new sign that kind of messed this all up. And the person's screen name was Katie, and she said, "They totally messed it up! That's stupid! According to new astrology, I'm Ophiuchus, and I read traits about it, and I'm nothing like it! I'm so Sagittarius," she says. They should have actually tested if it's still accurate and not just look at the stars stupidly and make a new scientific discovery that will somehow change people's personality. Someone has identity issues. And we know when we get to people's identity and really kind of poke that identity, their reactions are much stronger than if it's just something they feel is peripheral. But you get close to their center. Close to their center of being creates a mighty reaction. But the reality is, I mean, astrology and stars, it doesn't matter. Human beings find their identity in a lot of other places. How many of you have ever taken Myers-Briggs? Right? It's a helpful tool. It can be a helpful tool. But you know, after taking that survey, some folks define themselves by it so thoroughly that they almost introduce themselves by their personality type. "Hello, I'm Brian Bennett. I'm ITNJ." You just have to hang around a few folks enough of that, you get that sense. The folks who follow that directly. It becomes, in essence, a new astrology. It moves all too easily from being descriptive, helping you find traits and understand yourself a little better, to being proscriptive. This is the way you're always going to act. Whether you have astrology or Myers-Briggs, they take personality traits and use them to create identity that prescribe actions and help, they think, bring order to the world. Order and meaning, trying to make sense of it all, is where a lot of this comes from. And we want our identity to fit into a cohesive worldview. And we're very good at kind of putting pieces together and finding patterns and grasping and clinging to identities. I mean, think about all the ways that we label ourselves. We're liberal. We're conservative. We're independent. We're Steelers fans. We're Jets fans, Packers fans, Bear fans. We're Mountaineers. We're green. We're friends of coal. We're upper class. We're middle class. We're lower class. We're white collar. We're blue collar. Every label that we can think of can become a source of identity that sets us apart from others. And when we hold so tightly to this sort of identity, we react strongly when that sense of identity is challenged. It's not just to make us distinct, it becomes the place that we want to be, and we remain there, and we want to protect it, and we don't want to engage it. Right? So then the identities clash and divide. And so what was meant to bring meaning and order for us brings division and separates us. Even within the church, we're Lutheran, we're Roman Catholic, Pentecostal, Evangelical, Episcopalian. Coming off of, or in, actually right now, we're technically in the middle of the week of prayer for Christian unity. Right? A number of churches are working actively to bring about unity, knowing that sometimes we cling a little too closely to our label. We're Lutheran! We can't do that, because that's Catholic. We hear that. We fail to see the positive side of the other identities. But you know what? This is nothing new. If we heard Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote his Corinthian letters to the congregation in Corinth when it was experiencing great conflict. He wrote, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you." Friends, this is not just quarreling. This isn't an argument over the color of the carpet in Corinth. This was all-out warfare. Factions existed within the congregation, and people are identifying themselves apparently by whoever baptized them. Right? Or it might have been the school of thought that appealed to them most, in the ways that some people said, or strategies within the church. Paul, Cephas, Apollos. Maybe one was an eloquent orator, and this impressed some. Maybe one of them reaffirmed traditional notions of society, tying hopes of people with worldly hopes. Not unlike prosperity gospel preachers today who say, if you follow Jesus, you'll be rich. There might have been some trying to legitimize unsavory behaviors. Behaviors that they felt under the label of the freedom that Christ and the gospel brings were now allowable. Paul, though, refuses to try and defend any of the parties, any of the factions. He urges unity and bases it not on the teachings of the apparent leaders, but instead on the name of Jesus. He literally makes his appeal for unity, quote, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment." Here is the basis of our identity. The identities which we want to bring order and meaning in the end divide and disorient. They disorient when they become the source of our identity. Paul points to the language of the Corinthians. Each one of you says, "I follow Paul," or "I follow Apollos," or "I follow Cephas," or "I follow Christ." Christ, Paul reminds us, is not divided. Nor were Apollos or Paul or any of them crucified for them. For Paul, Christ is a reorienting force. He turns us in the right direction. The other ones turn us away. Christ is the source of our unity. We have been united with Christ in the waters of baptism. Worldly understanding and worldly power, being under the sway of sin, are not the ways to understand the workings of God. Proclamation of Christ and his cross is the power of God at work in the world, reconciling and pulling together, drawing all things unto himself. Our old senses of identity must ultimately perish so that we might be given a new identity that overcomes our division and unites us. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus makes this very real and down to earth. Because notions that we think of as really positive and central to so many of us also come under Christ's preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Our notions, maybe even family. Jesus came walking along the Sea of Galilee, where he encounters Simon and Andrew and James and John. Right? Their identity as fishermen, their careers, are on the chopping block. Right? Follow me, Jesus said. And they left. And you know, when we start talking about jobs, talking about careers, when we talk with young people, we use a language that's very ontological, a language that really comes about that somehow our jobs define us, that they are part of our being, right? You can be whatever you want. How about you can do a lot of things with the gifts that you have. But to speak about you can be whatever you want when you grow up, I mean, is it any wonder that sometimes our jobs define us in really unhealthy ways? Christ calling these men away from their jobs is a sign for us that it is our relationship to Christ that defines us for our jobs. Because in the end, if it's just our jobs may end or they may end us. Christ, having endured the cross and ended death's power over us, will endure through all things. And it's not just our jobs that we have to cling to. And our identity of family is also on the block. James and John get up and immediately leave their father. Culturally, at the time, this is scandalous. But we too focus on our families in ways that form our identities and our actions and our roles in ways that God would have us change. Being parents does not define us. Having children does not define us. Instead, what defines us is the message of Christ and our relationship to him. And that alone colors every relationship and every identity we might believe that we have. Knowing that we are united with Christ in the waters of baptism and we are made his children, what does that mean for us to become parents? What does that mean for us to decide to remain single? What does that mean for us to decide to have children, to have other connections to the community? Maybe we don't have children. Christ's relationship to us begins to define our identity, not the other way around. All of our notions of identity outside of Christ and his claim upon us are up for dismissal. To follow and to serve Christ is to be free of the bonds extended by these notions of identity, for sometimes they constrain us and don't allow us to follow him. And it is in following Christ that we find our true identity and purpose. All other identities fade away or are morphed as we are grasped by Christ and his love. No matter what they are, father, son, mother, daughter, teacher, preacher, fisher, Lutheran, ITNJ, Aries, Pisces, whatever. All of those matter not. What alone matters is being born under the bright morning star, Jesus Christ. And our sign is no longer any zodiac sign. Our sign is the cross. That defines us. Thanks be to God. Amen.